Glad to have everyone here this morning. We trust that our time together will be spent profitably, in fact has already been spent profitably, in our songs that I hope you noticed come from Scripture. Now, all our songs come from Scripture, but some of them are a little more focused on Scripture, and so I hope you took advantage of that and we'll go and investigate those psalms from which some of our songs this morning had come from. I got to say those slowly or I don't get them out right. It is a part of, as Brother Bill mentioned, our worship. It is a part of our working together with God and with one another as we strive to live through the difficulties and struggles of this life so that we might be able to enter into eternity and be with God there for all of, well, it won't be all of time, it'll just be forever. And our lesson somewhat touches on those things because, as I made mention this past Wednesday evening, I want us to move into looking at the idea of fellowship. We've touched on it in a little bit in the last, last Sunday lessons of the month as we talked about why we're here. We've talked a little bit about assembling, and we'll talk about that a little more. But this morning, I want to get back to a little bit more basics of exactly what fellowship is and how we can be certain that we can have fellowship together. The text that Brother Bill read for us this morning talks about the idea of our having fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. And so we want to look at what John has to say. In fact, we'll be looking at the entirety of 1 John chapter 1 as we go through the lesson this morning because I think there are some important things for us there in regards to this idea of fellowship. And I want us to, as we get started, recognize that fellowship is actually a special kind of relationship. We can have relationships and not have fellowship. Because relationship is pretty much a state of being which exists because of ties that we have. It may be blood ties, it may be work ties, it may be social ties, it may be legal ties, and it also would be spiritual ties. We are tied together spiritually. But just because we have a relationship does not mean that we have fellowship. And as I was thinking on this idea, a thought occurred to me, and maybe it's a little simplistic. Maybe you'll think, well, why in the world would he think that? But I was just thinking, 40 years ago, JoBeth and I had a relationship. We weren't married yet. We had a relationship. We were hanging around with each other a lot. But a few months later, in November of that same year, we began a fellowship. And today we have a very strong fellowship because we have something for which we are working in common and have been for 40 years. Because fellowship is an active sharing and participation together. It involves action on both parts or all parts of the relationship in order for that fellowship to be maintained. Paul talks about this in relation to his connection with the church at Philippi. They fellowshiped with him in giving and receiving. They helped him in his work. They were a part of that work by doing that help. We see it several different times throughout Scripture, and we'll be referencing some of those things as we go through and look at fellowship in a little more detail in some particular areas in coming lessons. But it's the idea of working in common for a cause, for a reason. Our fellowship together as husband and wife is for a family and for supporting that family and supporting ourselves. Now we're past the point of raising our children and we're working on spending a lot of time with our grandchildren, to be honest with you. And we're still in contact with children because we are concerned with that. That was our activity that we do together, and we continue to maintain that. And I don't speak of us just because we're unique in that. I know all husband and wife relationship should be of that sort. And I know you have your own fellowship and your particular relationship as husband and wife. And I recognize that. But I don't get in as much trouble when I talk about myself and my wife as when I talk about other people. So I'll use us as an example. I just get mean looks. We've worked through those before. But it's a two-way street. And we need to recognize that in regard to our fellowship with God. It is a two-way street. It's entered by establishing, first and foremost, a relationship together. And when we're talking about spiritual, that has to be a right relationship. I cannot be a sharer in that relationship if I am not actually sharing in that relationship. And that's the difference between a relationship and fellowship. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, I think, on a regular basis, we need to consider this in how we're conducting ourselves each and every day. Am I in a proper relationship with God, and am I in fellowship with God? First, we have to have the relationship. Then we can establish that fellowship through that relationship. And I think John helps us in getting our relationship right so that we will be able to have fellowship with God. And I think that's part of what he's talking about here in 1 John chapter 1. And I think it's something probably you would automatically think of yourself, and it's something that I think should come to our minds as Christians because we know about this relationship a little bit. But John tells us to first focus on God. That's where we start. The only way we're ever going to have a right relationship with God is if we focus on God first. And the same thing we see in our marriages. We develop that relationship and it becomes a fellowship because we focus on one another. Now, God's focused on us. God has always been focused on us as individuals. We need to focus on God. And I want us to start this with the understanding John is not writing to unbelievers. John references his audience as my little children. John recognizes that these people he's writing to are already Christians. They're already in a relationship with God, but he goes through this process in 1 John chapter 1 that establishes this idea of if we want to have fellowship with God, we have to first have a relationship with God that is right and proper, and that means we need to understand God. And we need to understand Christ. And he starts out just like he does his gospel almost. You remember John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John starts his epistle of 1 John with that which was from the beginning. John says, I want you to go all the way back to the fact that Jesus is God. Now, there's a sense in which he's really focusing upon the idea of the beginning of the story of the gospel, but we can also see this reference back to in the beginning. And what he's telling us is Jesus is God. And we've been seeing that in the gospel of John over and over again, and we're going to continue to see that as we study that in our Wednesday night class. Jesus is God, and that's where John begins. Jesus is God, and we told you about him. We gave you the evidence to support that fact and to support the actions that he did. We were eyewitnesses. We were ear witnesses. We were physical witnesses, which we heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands. Those things concerning the Word of life. These are the things that I want you to focus on because I want you to understand who Jesus is, who God is, so you can have that relationship with Him. You have to know who He is first. Our faith that we have in Christ is assured by these witnesses. John, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Peter said, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when he received glory and honor from the God the Father, the voice was borne to him from the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mount. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter here says basically the same thing that John does in that first verse of 1 John. We saw, we heard, we touched, we were there when God proclaimed Him His Son. And that's what Jesus wanted them to do. In Luke chapter 24, verse 36 and 38 and 39. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why did doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And if you read in the context of there and the other Gospels, you find what Jesus told His apostles to do is, you go out and you be witnesses for me of who I am, that I am God. And that's what John does here. He says, "I am a witness of the Son of God. I was there when God spoke to him from the mount," or spoke to us from the mount. "I was there when he was crucified. I was there and saw him when he came into the upper room. I saw the holes. I saw the wound. I was there when he fed us on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection. I was there when he ascended up to the Father," as recorded in Acts chapter 1. "I saw those things. And let me tell you, folks, he is God." John says, "I want you to know who your belief is in. I want to give you assurance. I want you to know everything that you can possibly know about Jesus, the Son of God." They did not deliver hearsay. They weren't speaking on the word of someone else. They didn't transfer human traditions. They weren't passing along conjecture or wild theories. They were speaking the truth as they experienced it. They were eyewitnesses. Now, even our courts recognize that it's better to have multiple witnesses than just a single witness. We had 12. 13 if you count Paul. We had 12 witnesses. As it was supposed to be. You go read in Acts chapter 1, and the replacing of Judas with Matthias was so that things would be as it should be. There would be 12 witnesses. But Paul expands on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, Jesus appeared to Cephas, then he appeared to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And Paul is giving this information to these brethren in Corinth to let them know, if you don't trust me, go check with the other people that saw this. There are multiple witnesses of these events. Not only is Jesus God, but Jesus was raised from the dead and he is now alive. God lives. And Jesus reigns. We could go to Acts chapter 2 where Peter makes that statement that he now sits on the right hand of the throne of God, having been made both Lord and Christ, Master and Savior. Relationships are built on understanding. And we need to understand God if we're going to have a relationship with Him. If we're going to be in fellowship with Him, we certainly need to understand Him. Because being in fellowship with God means we come to Him. Now in a marriage, it's generally a both coming together. There's a give and take on both sides. But in being in fellowship with God, God's already done all the giving He's going to do. He gave His Son. Everything now is up to me. I have to come to Him. And so I need to understand who God is and what He's all about. And John says, if you'll give attention to the evidence that's been laid out before you in this and in other writings, we can understand who He is, we can know what He wants from us, and it will strengthen our relationship with God. And that is absolutely essential if we expect to be in fellowship with Him. Because John continues there in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. We preach these things so you can fellowship with us, and we are in fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want that fellowship, you need to figure out who God is. You need to learn. And so focus on God. Like when we want to develop a relationship and then into a fellowship as husband and wife, we focus on one another. And when we have that fellowship, that for us means forgiveness, adoption, eternal life. When we have that fellowship and we understand the things that go with it, John says, it makes our joy complete. It fills our joy. I don't know about you, but listen to songs every now and then. Well, we listen to songs pretty much every Sunday morning. We got a group of songs we listen to while we're getting ready. And off and on through the week, sometimes we'll hear songs. And when they talk about eternal life, it just puts a smile on my face. At least in my heart. When I think about the fact that I'm going to get to leave this life with the knowledge and understanding that I will get to be with God for all eternity, it just brings joy. But if we don't have that relationship and we don't have that fellowship with God, it's not going to bring that joy. It's going to bring a sadness. In fact, I'm saddened when I think of other folks that I've known for years that were faithful and turned away. Folks who have gone on, who, based on what I have seen in their life, I'm not confident they're going to be with God for eternity. It saddens me to know those things. Because having that fellowship with God brings us great joy, and that comes to begin with by understanding God, by focusing on Him and learning about Him, because we cannot have spiritual fellowship together with the apostles unless that fellowship is in God. But we need to recognize that having such fellowship requires action on our part. And that's what John continues with in 1 John 1 beginning in verse 5. He starts off with, this is the message we've heard from Him and proclaimed to you. Here's what you need to understand about God. He is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I don't know what all ideas that come to mind when you read that, but one of the major things that stands out is if I want to be in a relationship and have fellowship with God, I've got to make sure that I'm in the light. If He's in the light and there is absolutely no darkness around Him or in Him or anywhere around Him at all, then as long as I still have darkness within me, I'm not going to be with Him. And I can't act with Him if I am acting in darkness. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. In order to be saints, in order to be in fellowship with God, we have to be in the light. What we find on the other side is Satan. And Satan is darkness. Satan is in the darkness. Satan is all darkness. Satan has no light. Satan tries to imitate light, but Satan is darkness. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul says, our battle is with darkness and the ruler of darkness, who is Satan himself. And folks, all it takes is just a little bit of a look around us to see that we are surrounded by darkness. It seems to be a little bit darker every day. All the things that are going on in our life, or are going on around us in life itself, just seem to get darker and darker and further away from the light that is shining from God. And sometimes it seems we're overwhelmed with it. But as long as we keep ourselves in darkness, we cannot be in fellowship with God. We have to come out of that darkness and be entered into the light. In fact, the next verse there in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He's taken us out of darkness and put us in light. How? Because we obeyed the gospel. When we learned who God was and we decided to submit ourselves to Him and become obedient to His word, when we, as Paul later in Colossians chapter 3, as we talked about I think last week, said, when we put off the old man and we put on the new, we were translated from the domain of darkness to the domain of light. Why would we go back to sin and darkness if we're already in the light, if we want a relationship with God? Kind of gets us back into the book of Romans. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. May it never be. Jesus spoke of those who were opposing Him. When they came to arrest Him, He said, when I was with you day after day in the temple, day after day, in the daylight, in the light, in the place of light, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. A major contrast there and major imagery when we stop and think. They came and got Him in the middle of the night, about as far away from the temple as they could be, out in the midst of the countryside, near Jerusalem. Rather than coming into the light where they had no power, they waited till the time of darkness. Then they arrested Him. Why? Because they were servants of the cosmic powers of darkness, as Paul put it to the Colossian brethren. Or to the Ephesian brethren, not Colossians. Their hour was the hour of darkness. Satan is darkness, and there is no mixture of light and darkness with God. If there is one key that we have to get in order to understand what it means to be in fellowship with God, it is that we must walk according to the light of His Word. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter what God's going to do for us. It does. If it weren't for what God's doing for us, we wouldn't be able to do anything, no matter how bright our light might be. But God's done His part. And God is going to continue to do His part. He always has. God has never failed. What we need to understand is we have responsibility in order to fellowship with God. That husband and wife relationship is a both. When it turns into a one and not the other, it ceases to work as it ought to. And there will be problems that arise. I can guarantee you that. We've seen it time and time again. Even when it happens and there's nothing that can be done about it because one side of that partnership gets ill and is not able to fulfill their part. While we hate that that happened, we understand that that fellowship is not working as it ought to anymore. Everything's laid on the one rather than on the two. We have to walk in the light of God's Word if we're going to be in fellowship with Him. The psalmist tells us, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That plain, simple statement tells us that the only way we're going to find a path to God is in His Word. It lights the path. It shows us where we're supposed to go. It's a bright and shining beacon, like a lighthouse on the side of the ocean, on the coast of the ocean, sitting high up on a hill so it can be seen. It says, here is where you want to be. And it shines light out upon the darkness and says, there is where you don't want to be. Watch out for this. That's why we're here. We're going to illuminate that darkness so that you can see, no, I don't want to be here. Fellowship with God is following the path that He's laid down in His Word. If we were to go back to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and begin in verse 4 and continue what John has to say about Jesus at the beginning of that Gospel, we read, "There in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John was the guy that sent out the message, watch for the light. There's a light to guide your way, and it is coming, and you need to watch for it. You need to be ready for it. And that's exactly what he did. We've seen some of that as we studied in the Gospel of John. But Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Word. Remember those first few verses of John chapter 1. The beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word is the light. Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 12 said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If we want to be in fellowship with God, the first thing we have to recognize about fellowship with God is we have to act in accordance with God's desires. That means no matter what other consideration we're giving in regards to fellowship, first and foremost, above all else, our actions need to be in accordance with the will of God. And I think that's where the religious world has messed up. They've gotten the idea that as long as we claim we are doing this in the name of God, that we are in fellowship with God when we do this because it is a good deed and God wants us to do good deeds, then we're fellowshipping with God. But you cannot fellowship with God if you're not walking in the light. And the light is His Word. And His Word gives us specific things that we can and cannot do. And we need to be careful of fellowshipping anything that is outside that path of life. If you walk in darkness, you will stumble and fall. It is impossible to fellowship God if we are walking in darkness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And take note of that word practice. Fellowship with God has to do with practicing the truth. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we're walking outside of the light, we lie and are not practicing the truth. Fellowship requires acting together. We may still have some sort of relationship with God. I put that one in quotes. But if we're not acting in accordance with His life, we're no longer in fellowship with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, verse 7 continues, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice that is a conditional statement. But if, what's the other side of that? If not. Well, if I walk in the light, I have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from sin. Because the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from all sin. If I walk in the light, I have these things. If I don't walk in the light, I don't have those things. I don't know that this particular event ever happened exactly as I mention it, but I'm sure there were times when Dad sent me to do something and he said, if you do this, I'll probably wasn't going to be giving me money. It'd probably be nice to me or something. If you do this, I'll let you sit down and read your book for the rest of the day. I knew when he made that statement, if he made that particular statement, that the only way I was going to get to sit down and read my book for the rest of the day is if I went right then and did what he wanted me to do. There were conditions placed. If I didn't go do that, probably something like hoe the garden. If I didn't go do that, I wasn't going to get to sit down and read my book the rest of the day. He'd be hounding me all the rest of the afternoon to go get that done, probably with a belt too, because I hadn't done what I was supposed to do. I knew it was conditional. And I knew the only way I was going to get the blessing is if I met the condition. The only way I'm cleansed by the blood of Christ is if I meet the condition of walking in the light, which means practicing the truth. This is not a one-time action. This is a continual process. Maybe we'll take some time in one of the future lessons to get a little more into the continuous action of these words. But I think we need to recognize that it is a continual walking in the light. We need to recognize that claiming we have no sin is not the same as walking in the light either. John says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in it. That sounds a whole lot like, what was it, verse 6 or 7? If we say we have fellowship with Him, we walk while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We need to recognize that we're not perfect. In this relationship with God, I'm the one that needs work, not God. I'm the one that needs to be careful, watchful, busy, and diligent in serving the Lord. And I think that's something that our brethren who want to lean way over toward the grace side of things have forgotten. Yes, I'm saved by the grace of God. But it's a conditional grace. It's a conditional salvation. It's not no matter what I do. I'm saved by the grace of God if I'm obedient to the will of God. And I don't know about you, but I've been at this for a lot of years. Well, let's just say I'm 60 now, and I started somewhere around the time I was 13. I had a few years where I messed up in there, so we'll say by the time I was 20 or 21, that gives me pretty much 40 years at this. And I still find myself stumbling over roots sometimes. I still find myself walking over what I think is nice, flat ground and stumbling. And usually it's because I wasn't watching where I was going. I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. Does it happen often? No, I don't think so. It sure doesn't happen as often as it used to, but it's something I constantly have to be on guard. Just like I pay attention to what I'm doing when I walk downstairs. I shine a light when I'm going to be walking around outside. I have to acknowledge and recognize that I'm not perfect. And if the truth is not in me, I'm not cleansed by the blood of Christ. In verse 9, we read, if we confess our sins, and there are several different translations that render that, if we keep confessing our sins, because that's part of that continual active part. I forget what the specific name is for the Greek tense, because there's several of those. But the point of the words that are translated there is a continual action from now on through. If I keep on confessing my sins, God is faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I think sometimes we read that with the we and us there, an hour, and we don't focus enough on the me and my. Because we have problems. I have problems. And I don't know if anybody's told you or not, you also have problems. We all have problems. And we need to continue to acknowledge and correct our sins. It's more than just saying, God, I've sinned. And this is one of those places where I just almost agree with some of my brethren who I think carry it just a little too far where they say, I am a sinner. I'm careful about that. It's more the idea of I acknowledge that I still have problems with sin. Kist Maker is the reference I have here from an old sermon outline I found it from, and I liked what he said. I don't know that I've ever read his book, but his point is we openly and honestly face sin without hiding it or finding excuses for it. Like I said, I don't know who this guy is, Kist Maker. I don't have the reference personally myself, but it's almost exactly the idea that I think we need to understand regarding 1 John 1 and verse 9. I recognize that I have a problem with sin, and I acknowledge that openly, and I stop trying to excuse it. I just try to correct it. Deal with it as it comes. For I cannot claim sinless perfection. If I do so, I make God a liar. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And His Word is not in us. And there again, we've stepped outside of that life. Our walk has taken us off the path. We're walking in darkness. When we live our life with that attitude. Because sin, as Paul told the Roman brethren, is something all of us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I don't know, it's probably registered in the past, but take note of that. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says, for all have sinned, then he says, and fall short of the glory of God. Notice he didn't say, and fell short. He said, and fall short. And I think there again is that present continual action. We still fall short of the glory of God. All, not just some, all. Not just Jews. Not just Gentiles, all fall short of the glory of God. And folks, if we fall short of the glory of God, we are not in fellowship with God. And if we are not in fellowship with God, when our life comes to an end, we will not be in fellowship with God in eternity. No matter what we're talking about in relation to fellowship, we're talking about our worship. We're talking about our evangelism. We're talking about our encouraging, our helping the sick, helping the hurting, our standing up against evil. No matter what we're talking about in regards to fellowship, first and foremost, John says, if we want to be in fellowship with those who belong to God, we have to be in fellowship with God. And fellowship with God requires walking in the light. And John says, I write to you so that you can believe God, so you can walk in the light. John impresses us with the need to work with God. It is our work with Him that gives us confidence and strength and lets us know our spiritual condition. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. There again, emphasizing he's writing to believers. I write these things to those of you who believe in the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. You know how I can have assurance that I have eternal life? If I have assurance that I'm in fellowship with God. How do I have assurance I'm in fellowship with God? Well, I am listening to the witness of God. I'm learning who God is, and I'm continually processing that and reading from it and strengthening my faith and courage and strengthening my understanding of God and His Son and what He's done with me by spending time with those eyewitnesses who both saw, well, actually all three, saw, heard, and touched. And I'm walking in the light of the Word of God. I know God. I come to understand God and what He expects of me, and so I follow His Word. And I acknowledge that I am weak, and when I fail, I turn to God and seek forgiveness. That's how I know. That's how I have confidence that I will have fellowship with God in eternity. Because I do everything within my power to live my life in such a way that I have fellowship with God here while walking on the face of the earth. That means I am sober and watchful, to use the words of Peter. That means I stay awake because I know that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That means I guard myself. That means I, as Paul told the Roman brethren, transform myself by the renewing of my mind through study of the Word of God. That means I test myself or examine myself, as Paul told the Corinthian brethren, by constantly comparing my life, my actions, to the will of God. Our question this morning, are you in a proper relationship with God? Are you one of His children? You can only be one of His children if you were added to the family of God according to His requirements. Confessing your belief in Jesus as the Son of God, turning away from self and the world and giving yourself wholly over to serve God and being buried in baptism in order to receive the remission of your sins, you can be added to the church, the family of God, the house of God, as Paul references it to Timothy and Titus. You can have a relationship with God, and from that relationship you can enter into fellowship with God by being active with Him in your salvation and the salvation of those around you. by doing His will, following His word, as you work together for that common cause, the cause of Christ. You fellowship with God, and if you will be diligent in that all your life, remain that until your time to leave this earth, you can have fellowship with God for eternity. If you stray from that, we urge you to come back. You've lost the fellowship. You may still feel a relationship with God because you're still a little bit spiritual or religious, but do you have fellowship with God because you're still acting in accordance with His will? If you do not, if you're not acting in accordance with His will because you have sin in your life, we urge you to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. John tells us there, if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we will repent and turn from, we can confess our sins and receive forgiveness. If you look this morning and find that you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing for your courage.